Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Good morning and welcome to the NBA Daily Ding. Welcome to the NBA Finals. I am Jared Weiss. I am joined by Mo DeKeel. And Mo, Game 6, the Bucks win it 118-107, even without Giannis, to head to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, man. Chris Middleton goes off in the second half. Finishes with 32 points. I mean, he exploded for 23 points in the third quarter. A lot of them against Kevin Huerter, Jared. Like, he just could not guard. Once Middleton decided, like, okay, I'm going to go now, Huerter was like, all right, yeah, you're going to go now. There's not much I can do.
Middleton had, I think, 14 points in, like, the first 4 minutes of the second half. And this was a tight game for most of the first half. He just completely blew it open.
I mean, yeah, I mean, on their way to the Bucks scoring 44 points in the third quarter, like, he broke it open. Then Drew Holiday started hitting shots. Their defense was solid. They were getting stops on the other end and pushing it out in transition and getting pretty good looks. And we should also say they were getting pretty good looks, but also some of them were tough shots that Middleton was hitting.
He had that lefty banker. It was like, he's a righty, so that blew my mind. That was a real clear star stepping up into the moment kind of situation.
We've seen it from Middleton, right? It was game three, right? Where he blew up in the second, in the third quarter for like 20 points, I think, or was it the fourth?
Yeah.
All quarters are running into one at this point. We've seen this from him before, but it was good to just see overall from the Bucks, them stepping up. Drew Holiday had a big night with 27 points. Didn't shoot it all that well, but dropped 9 assists. Like, they had a lot of things going for them offensively. Connaughton with 13 points. Jeff Teague, your boy, Jeff Teague, drops in 11 points and had a big night for the Bucks.
Yeah, and Drew Holiday had 9 dimes and 9 boards. Chris Middleton had 7 assists, although he did have 7 turnovers, and Holiday had 6 turnovers. I mean, credit to the Hawks for forcing the top players in Milwaukee, putting a ton of pressure on them. Those guys were just hitting great shots.
And a lot of those turnovers were in the first half. You know, I think they combined for 11 first half turnovers, or 10, excuse me, first half turnovers. Like, they got themselves better, taking care of the ball better in the second half, you know. But you're right, you got to give credit to the Hawks. The one thing that sucks is Trae Young tried to give it a go, and just, you could see it, Jared, his ankle just wouldn't let him do all the Trae Youngy things that he likes to do.
Yeah, there were a few times where he would have some open space, he would get downhill, get that lob to Clint Capella, but he went 0-for-6 from three. He only had 14 points. It's funny because Bogey, Cam Reddish, Clint Capella all had really good shooting nights, but obviously without Trae doing his thing, it's going to be almost impossible for them to win in an elimination game.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to need Trae in that instance. And just unfortunate that he wasn't healthy, had the bone bruise. You could see it even when he drove, even when he made layups, he would land and it was just like, I don't, you know, no, you can feel the pain from him. So it was pretty tough for him. But Cam Reddish, you know, you mentioned him for a second, just phenomenal night. for Cam Reddish, with finishing with 21 points, 6 of 7 from three. Jared,
the corner three king. It was, you know, there was that shot he had, I think about 4 minutes into the second half, where he got like a rebound, went out to the corner, looking around, and he just turned and fired off. And you're like, wow, this is going to be just Cam in his bag tonight. And I wish that was enough, obviously, but I wish that we had more of this throughout the playoff run. It's amazing that Atlanta got as far as they did without him for most of that run.
Yeah, I mean, you know, credit Atlanta with everything they've done. They also done it without DeAndre Hunter for most of the playoffs. You know, pretty impressive performance for the young team. We'll see what the story is for them going forward. It would have been a very interesting series had Young stayed healthy, and obviously with Giannis out, it might have made things a little bit more spicy. But man, the Bucks are going to the finals, Jared.
The Bucks are going to the finals without Giannis even playing in the last two wins. And we don't even know if Giannis is going to be ready for Tuesday's game one. I just talked to somebody in Milwaukee. They were still saying, we're hoping he'll be ready. It's kind of crazy to think that a team entering the finals doesn't even know if their best player is going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, it's in a tough spot. I would actually be shocked if he played game one, just because that was not an easy, like, we're lucky there wasn't any sort of tear, you know, but that doesn't mean there's not a sprain in there or something, like, you know, or a bone bruise. Like, that looked like it hurt. So I would be shocked if he ends up playing game one.
Oh yeah, I get nauseous every time I see the replay. Yeah. Of it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
But before we move on to the finals, what do you think the Bucks did in this series so well that gave them the edge against a team that, you know, besides Trey getting hurt, I think was playing pretty phenomenally?
Yeah, I think, you know, some of it was they went to a switching scheme, which also helped without Trey Young out there, so it's not as glaring of a weakness. But they're able to switch a lot more. Lopez did a pretty good job overall in that area, even Bobby Portis to a degree. And I think it allowed them to kind of get going, get a couple of stops, and from that they were able to build up. And then, you know, Lopez turned in a Shaq-like performance, you know, in game five. So I think, you know, you carry stuff over to game six, and he was just solid. Not great, not obviously the same performance, but overall, I think they adjusted, they reacted to things pretty well. And then, you know, Middleton started to get going.
Yeah, you know, it's been great to see Lopez kind of reestablish his presence as a big man. So it felt like he was starting to get a little bit lost over the last couple of years, where most of what he was doing was just stretching the floor. But they had to go to him to be a post player again in game five. He was a kind of a lob threat. He had that great one-handed alley-oop later in the game. I mean, the guy is still a beast down low.
He's still 7 feet. It ain't easy. He's still got skills and things like that. So it became very challenging for the Bucks in that, having to deal with all of that and then not able to go at him on the offensive end, because again, it's a lot different. And this isn't a shot at Herder or Bogdanovich, who was also banged up, but it's a lot different when they switch him onto Trey Young versus when they switch him onto those guys.
For sure. All right. So we have the NBA Finals. It's Phoenix Suns against the Milwaukee Bucks. We've got game one Tuesday, game two on Thursday, game three Sunday, game four Wednesday, and then maybe if we get to game five and six, that'll be Saturday, and then July 20th after that. So I guess first off, what is your read in this series? How competitive is this series going to be?
I think this is going to be a really competitive series. I think a lot of these games are going to be really close. I don't think we're going to get a lot of like heavy blowout games. I think the big thing to watch for is you know, can the Suns attack Lopez and Portis when they're on the court? And this is, I'm going at it until Giannis is on the court, I'm acting as if he's not playing. But, you know, can they attack those guys on the court on the offensive end? Can they get them, you know, out of drop coverage into switching and see if that helps? And I think it'll be a big thing for the Bucks if they can continue to attack and continue to move. It's going to be important to see if those Phoenix guards can attack them and get them out of drop coverage. And then when you have Bobby Portis switching on to Chris Paul or Devin Booker, good luck with that.
Oh man, I can't wait to see the mid-range Kings try to take on Bobby Portis in space. That's gonna, we're gonna see crazy eyes bursting out of his head. But you're right, it's funny because Phoenix, I feel like, has been amazing against drop coverage so far with the way that they can get that, you know, DeAndre Ayton going downhill on those hard rolls. But Brooke Lopez is the first center that I think we've seen them go up against where you know that he can really handle that action.
Well, I thought the Clippers did a decent job in drop coverage with Zubac. I thought he did a good job switching on to Chris when he crossed back and things like that. But yeah, it's different. Ivica Zubac is going to be very different than Brooke Lopez. Lopez has seen it all at this point. Going to be more experienced. It's going to be a lot of fun, Jared, watching that battle go on.
And then, of course, we have Drew Holiday up against, I assume for most of it, Chris Paul. And that just seems like one of the great defensive matchups that we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be just a battle royale, really, when these two guys are going to go at each other. And on top of it, I'm excited for the Booker-Chris Middleton matchup. I think that's going to be pretty interesting as well. And even then, if it's not Middleton, they could throw PJ Tucker on Booker a little bit for a couple of possessions. Like, they got a couple of options to throw at the Suns and to see how they can handle those guys. And I think the key for the Bucks is going to be just being very physical. They got to be the more physical team in this series.
I mean, I feel like Paul and Booker are both amazing foul drawers. So how much do you want to try to be physical to try to get them out of the comfort zone without getting actually into foul trouble?
I mean, it's always hard. And because the games are officiated differently from game to game, and that's not a knock on the officials, just human nature. I think you can't be afraid of being physical because you're afraid you're going to foul them though. Right. Like if you're coming in there and not willing to get into those guys' bodies a little bit, they're going to run roughshod over all over you and be on their way to winning the championship easily. You got to get into them. You got to find ways. And the referees will let you have some bumps and things like that. I think we saw a lot of that with Patrick Beverley and you know, Booker and CP. I think they'll let you get a little bit more physical. And I think you see how it sort of throws the Suns' guards off a little bit.
Okay, so, I mean, obviously, if Giannis is not playing, then Phoenix comes into this as the favorite. But let's say Giannis is back for game one. He is semi-Giannis-like. Where do you think the balance lies for the series?
I think it would still be a fairly even series. I think it's one of those things where I think the Suns can do a lot of things on the perimeter that the Bucks can't really do, and vice versa. The Bucks can really control the paint, even as good as DeAndre Ayton has been. You know, they just have a lot of size. This is going to be a lot of interesting sort of things going at them. It's going to be the smaller team versus the bigger team, you know, the finesse versus physicality and things like that. There's a lot of fun little storylines to play in. And at the end of the day, I just think Monty Williams is a better coach than Budenholzer. So there'll be some chess pieces being moved as well.
All right. Well, we got a great finals matchup. Hopefully Giannis will be back and it'll be a full strength matchup. Either way, Mo and I will be here on the Daily Ding to break it down for you after every game. So don't forget to subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/ding. Mo, let's get out of here.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. $5. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.